You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Remember to tune in to Racing Radio from 1:50pm on Wednesday afternoon for all of the day's racing at Beverley, Nottingham and Cartmel in the afternoon. Then into the evening, Kempton, Ayr and the Irish card at Punchestown. Plenty to come on Wednesday. My name is Sam Norris and joining me to look ahead to four races on Wednesday is former jockey and future lawyer and current pundit, Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Good afternoon, Sam. Yeah, not too bad.
Good stuff. Let's have a little look forward towards the Derby this weekend then, James. It's something that we've mentioned over the last few weeks, obviously, as we begin to build up to it, but we've got a firmer idea now of what the final field will be for the Derby. And first things first, we could be set for the first full field Derby since, I think, 2003, which gives, I know, something we mentioned last week, you're keen to see a good Derby winner. The more runners you throw at it, the more chance we're going to have a good Derby winner, James. Or do you not see it like that?
The opposite, Samuel, because there's no good ones in it. They're all keen to give it a go, and that's why so many horses are being supplemented. John Gosden's got five in the race after supplemented another one yesterday. Aidan O'Brien, I think he's going to run about five as well.
And he's got about six or seven entered, hasn't he?
Yeah, so it's going to be a race where there's no obvious standout. We've got no Australia or anything like that, which is a clear number one. Obviously, we mentioned Capri has been backed. One of Aidan O'Brien's that likes soft ground. Obviously, the weather forecast is a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
They put plenty of water on at Epsom anyway because they didn't want really firm ground for the Derby. But plenty of showers around. So I think it's going to be on the soft side. I can see why he's been backed. But to be fair, Capri's been beat by Best Solution at St. Cloud in a Group 1 back in October. Then beat by Rekindlin in his first run at Leopardstown and beaten again by Douglas MacArthur. So he's been beaten by three of the rivals. And they're all big prices, so I'd say realistically he shouldn't be good enough. If he did win, you'd be disappointed.
Yeah, and a couple of other horses, interesting supplements, Permian and Khalidi, particularly the former James Permian, who was second behind Cracksman at Epsom, but then has come out since and bolted up at Newmarket and then won the Dante as well, which has historically been such a good trial. Absolutely no surprise to see that one supplemented, and it could well be worth the money.
Possibly. He's been busy. He's run number 11 for Permian. Obviously, winning the Dante, that is the best Derby trial for the race, apart from the 2,000 guineas. And I can certainly see why Connections have supplemented. 85 grand to the Shakes is small change.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he actually won 105 last time. So that Dante win paid for it. A horse that's won a nursery off 83 at Windsor, he shouldn't really be good enough to be winning a Derby. But like I say, I think it's an average crop, as usual. And who knows what's going to happen. Even Perla, he won a several maiden goes for the Derby, so you never know what's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be a great renewal.
Okay, in terms of how the race is actually going to be run, James, with all these Aidan O'Brien horses potentially lining up in the same ownership, could we be in for an extremely tactical affair?
Possibly, there could be team tactics involved. It all depends where you get drawn. It's a little bit out of your control, I suppose, as such. But it's going to be a rough race. I think we can gather that. I do hope Gina Mangan stays out of trouble on the big outsider.
Yeah, Dior Liar.
Looks a little bit slow, so hopefully she does sit last and has a safe ride round. But it's going to be a rough race because lots of these horses here are going to get in each other's way. They're not particularly quick animals. It could be a bit of a spectacle. Hopefully we get an impressive winner, but I think it might be unlikely.
Okay, well, we're on Dior Liar. Is it a fairy tale story for you, James,
or
is
it a fairy tale,
or is it a disgrace to this great race?
It's not a disgrace because my old man's, he's had a couple of runners at 100-1 and. In the 94 Derby, when there was a lot of contributors, there was 25 runners, and there was about eight, I think, that were 200 or more. We had one of those, very similar, and it was very keen to have a day out. He was slightly better than Dior Liar, as he actually came fifth in the Racing Post, so he was entitled to take his chance, but
yeah,
you know, had a great day out. I think he beat about five or six, but Dior Liar, they say he's going to be raising money for charity, but he ain't going to be getting any prize money, or she isn't going to be getting any prize money, sorry. Then the Oaks would have been a better option if they wanted to have a day out at Epsom.
Mm. Suppose it depends how the filly's ridden. If it's ridden to try and win the race, absolutely no chance. But if it's ridden to not finish last, it might not come last. Probably won't finish last, will it?
I don't think it'll come last, because normally you get a horse in the Derby who doesn't handle it at all, Dawn Approach, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
And they end up basically being pulled up. So if Gina Mangan's sensible, but she's never had a winner in England. I think she had one in Ireland.
Yes.
Hopefully just...
0-34, I think she is in England.
Yeah, I think
like
she, if she sits last and just...
Tries to go past a few tired horses.
Tries to get around safely, she might be all right.
Okay. It's not been met universally with praise. Can you see the argument against it?
Oh, yeah, I can see why. It's the best race in the world. You should have just the best horses.
Yeah.
There's 20 places. I don't think she's going to get in the way. But you can argue it. Any horse can get in the way or cause problems. So
yeah.
It happens. Maybe you should have a minimum rating that you've got to run to, like you do for some of the jump races.
Would you be in favour of that?
Yeah, because if you've got it as 80.
Yeah.
That's still going to allow a lot of people to have a fun.
Yeah,
run.
Yeah, sure.
Just this horse is not up to that level.
Mm. And that's what did for Jane Chapel Hyme in the end as well.
Well, she said it should be running.
Just, yeah, and I mean of course she's right, isn't she?
She's right, and it's gone back to the trainer who had it originally,
John Jenkins. Yeah.
So it does seem a little bit madness, but there we go.
But it is for charity, and we can't take that away from them.
If he really wanted to help charity, he would have used that entry fee and given it straight to the charity.
Okay,
that would be my
fair enough. Yeah,
opinion.
Yeah. Okay, I understand that.
But he has got some publicity for it.
Yeah, that is true. And we've said before, publicity for racing, as long as it's of a positive spin, is generally quite good, James.
Possibly.
Not on this occasion?
Not on this occasion, no.
Away from the Derby then, anything else you're particularly looking forward to at Epsom this weekend?
No.
Obviously
the Oaks, we look forward to that. Interesting story, the Dash got Caspian Prince going for a treble bid.
Three different trainers as well, I believe.
Yeah, which is always frustrating. Not something that I particularly approve of. I think it's had three trainers in the last 6 months.
Yeah, has it gone David Lochnane, Roger Fell and Tony Coyle?
Yeah, and it won the race for Dean Ivory.
Last year. And Tony Carroll the year before?
Yeah, so madness. But there we go, owner pays the bills. But yeah, interesting to see the horse himself. He's obviously a very, very sharp sprinter. And if he could actually win that race three times, that would be an excellent achievement.
Yeah, definitely would. Just a quick spin through the prices then for the Derby. Cliffs of Moher and Cracksman remain the 7-2 joint favourites. Eminent is 7-1. Best Solution, 11-1. Capri is the big gambler. The last 24 hours at 11-1. Permian, 11-1. 14s for Venice Beach. 16s Dubai Thunder. And 25-1 Barring.
I don't actually give a selection, to be fair. I don't like the race. But Eminent would be the one if you want to be... some positivity towards the Derby.
you've just been so negative towards the Derby. I just assume you didn't want any of them to win it, James.
Well, no, not particularly. But this one is a son of Frankel. Be a good news story. And I was actually impressed with the Craven. I think the guineas came too quick. 2,000 guineas is the best trial. He's the main one coming from that race.
Yeah.
So Eminent as a selection for the Derby at 7-1. That would be my choice.
And he probably shaped in the guineas as though he'd appreciated step up.
Definitely. They were concerned before the race that trip would be a little bit too short.
Yeah.
So he would be my selection. But... I can't see it being a particularly good Derby.
Okay, on to Wednesday's racing now then. We've got four races picked out on Wednesday, and we begin at Nottingham, starting with F550, which is a Class 2 handicap over a mile trip. The 350 is the race that we're going to start with, and eight of them go to post, James. Who's caught the eye here, and what doesn't look a bad handicap on paper?
Interesting little race. We've actually got one that Jane Chapel Hyme, the ex-trainer of that rank outsider for the Derby. Kaspersky, I think he bought for Michelle Payne to train over in Australia at some point. I think she's going to ride it in the Queen Anne here at Royal Ascot. That's obviously an interesting one. Got like, plenty of weight away from marker 109, so that's going to be difficult for that one. But it'll be interesting to see how it gets on. I'm probably going to go for one at the bottom of the weights. Another touch for Richard Farhay and Tony Hamilton. Rated 98, sneaks in here off 9-3. Being inconsistent this year, second and fourth on two of his starts. In strong handicaps, type that can win, I think, in this kind of slightly easier grade. So another touch will be a selection. Keep an eye on White Lake. That's got the visor on for the first time of Andrea Etzini and Roger Varian. The fact they've kept it in training, only had two runs last year, one run this year, that suggests it's much better than what it showed. So White Lake is definitely an interesting option.
Okay, another touch the selection then in that Nottingham 350. We go on to the feature race of the day at Nottingham now, the 420, the Nottinghamshire Oaks. This is a listed event for the fillies over a mile and a quarter. And likely the favourite here, James, is going to be Playful Sound, who looks a typical Sir Michael Stout job, bringing it along slowly, and a horse that won a red-hot Newmarket handicap when last seen.
Yeah, indeed. Slightly low-grade Nottinghamshire Oaks, I suppose, at the moment. Last year, it was won by Elba F, and there's no Elba F in the race at the moment. top one is Playful Sound. That's rated 99, so not exactly a particularly high rating for this level. We'd like to see a few triple figure horses are represented. But let's say it won very impressively at Newmarket last time out. It's won three of its last four. Sir Michael Stout, as you said, their horses tend to improve nicely for their four-year career, so I can say someone improving. So Playful Sound will be the selection in what looks to be a pretty weak listed contest. Lots of these will be trying to nick a bit of black type. Certainly increases their breeding value. Not that many future stars, I don't think, in the contest, to be honest. Four-year-old plus, I'd say it's a novice opportunity for one just to sneak black type at a big price. Permission, probably the main danger to Playful Sound. That one's rated 93, good second on its comeback. Again, another type to improve from 3 to 4.
Okay. Now, Playful Sound gets the nod then in the Nottinghamshire Oaks coming up at 4:20. On to the evening racing now, starting at Ayr with the 7:10, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Then, anything catching the eye here, James?
Well, Black Isle will be Isle Boy is an obvious one for David O'Mara. I do like 3-year-olds taking on their elders. They're getting plenty of weight for age allowance. In the sprint division, it's £9 at the moment. And he's just very, very unexposed compared to his rivals, who are all a little bit exposed, a little bit disappointing. So I do think David O'Mara's runner is going to be very, very hard to beat. Off a mark of 82, won two starts very nicely this year. So that's the obvious selection. Of those at the price, Velata's got plenty of course distance form. Won last time out for a roof car. That could be an each-way option. But I think they're going to struggle to give weight to the three-year-old Black Isle Boy.
Okay, Black Isle Boy then. The lightly raced Black Isle Boy gets the nod for James in that 7:10 at Ayr, and we go on over to the poly track for the final race on the podcast today. This is the 8:20 at Kempton, a mile handicap for us here, and a field of 11 down to contest it. Looks a potentially difficult one to solve, James.
Yeah, definitely. Not an easy race to get a handle on. Quite a few horses that have been a little bit disappointing. One that is very good in new weather, but question mark how fit he is Unforgiving Minute for John Butler and Adam Kirby team. And watch the market for him, but he used to be a very useful other horse for Clive Cox a while back. Found some form in the winter. He won two starts back, so he would be interesting if there was money. But I think you need to look at the ones that are in form at the moment, and the best one is probably Kestrel.com for Sylvester Souza and Chris Dewar. Always keep an eye out when Sylvester is on board one of Chris's, because his wife Shelley is Sylvester's agent.
All right.
So normally, if they really do fancy one, Sylvester certainly gets priority to ride those. And this one won nicely last time out 2 weeks ago. So Kestrel.com will be the selection. Keep an eye on Unforgiving Minute. Of the others, Dark Devil is interesting, which is why he's taken him all the way down to Kempton. He does not have a great record at the track. I'm surprised there's not options for him up in the north. So the fact they are taking him down here should be a positive. Like I say, the track record is a negative. So a few pros and cons there with Dark Devil. But I think Kestrel.com, with Sylvester in the plate, is the one to beat.
Kestrel.com then for James in the 8:20 at Kempton. Thank you for that, James. Could you just spin us through your selections one more time, please, for the races we've looked at on Wednesday?
Yeah, 3:50 at Nottingham. We're going to go for another touch. Richard Fahey's run has been competitive in some strong handicaps this year. Easy opportunity for a while. He's got a good chance. In the 4:20, the Nottinghamshire Oaks looks to be a pretty average listed race. I think Playful Sound for Sir Michael Stout has an obvious chance. And Ryan Moore off to Ayr for this sprint, the 7:10. I really like Black Isle Boy, an exposed three-year-old, on both his starts this year. Takes on his elders, but gets a hefty weight for age allowance. I think it'd be hard to beat. And then finally, at Camden, the 8:20, we've gone for Kestrel.com. Sylvester Souza teaming up with Chris Dewire.
Thank you very much, James. There we are, thoughts with James Millman ahead of Wednesday's racing, and you can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Beverley, Nottingham and Cartmel in the afternoon, Kempton Ayr and Punchestown on Wednesday evening. Do make sure you join us for all of that. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.